Good evening. For WBAI News in New York, I'm Linda Perry with some of the news for Monday, August 7th, 2017. There's a new plan to tax the rich in New York City. It would affect 32,000 of the richest New Yorkers, the top 1%. It's expected to provide the city with up to $800 million in annual funding for the transit system and for New York City strap hangers. The millionaire's tax, the fair fixed tax on wealthiest New Yorkers, would be used as a dedicated funding source to fix the MTA system and modernize buses and subways. And $250 million a year of the $800 million would go to fair fares. It would provide 800,000 low-income New Yorkers with half-price Metro cards. Mayor Bill de Blasio says almost one-tenth of New York City would get a break.
Look, the status quo today isn't working. It's not working. We know the MTA is not working properly. We all are experiencing that. But we also know it's not fair. We're just not going to continue on the same path any longer. It's time to do something that will really break the mold here. There hasn't been a millionaire's tax for the MTA. Should have happened a long time ago. But with the 1% becoming wealthier and wealthier, it's time for a millionaire's tax so that regular New Yorkers, everyday New Yorkers, can get to work, can get to that doctor appointment. It's time for a millionaire's tax so parents can get to school to pick up their kids. It's time for a millionaire's tax so people who need to get to the doctor don't miss their appointment. It's time for some basic fairness, and that's what we aim to achieve. And we're all going to work hard to make sure that happens. Are you ready to fight for it?
Yes!
The mayor announced the tax plan at Borough Hall in Brooklyn today. That's where a healthcare aide, Dana Dennis from Crown Heights, shared how important it is for her to have a reliable subway system.
Just to get to work every day for me is a decision. How am I going to get on this train? How am I going to afford it? And it not only affects me, but as a home health aide, it affects my clients. Earlier this summer, in June, there was a huge delay with the queue line, with the Brooklyn Brown queue, and I was on a platform for almost 2 hours. A two-hour delay in my day is not just a two-hour delay for me, but for my clients. And the majority of my clients either suffer from Alzheimer's or dementia. So 2 hours throwing off their schedule can mean time medicine. They can be bedbound. They're waiting on me and they rely on me. And so not only are my clients affected, but other New Yorkers who are working as well are affected, and their paycheck may be affected. I'm going through that as well. I not only work as a home health aide, but I work for minimum wage. So every time I have to get on the subway, I'm thinking about how can I afford this? Is this going to take away from my rent, my student loans, my phone bills? Constantly, I worry, should I walk? Should I take the bus? Do I need to ask someone to swipe me in? If I have an unlimited this month, do I need to swipe someone in who couldn't afford it?
The subways are a disaster and they're getting worse by the day.
Co-sponsor of the millionaire tax plan, New York State Senator Mike Gennaris.
So the headlines that we see only tell us about the worst stories that are happening on a daily basis. We hear about the trains stuck in the tunnel for an hour and people clawing their way out of it. We hear about commuters walking on the tracks just to try to get to work on time. We hear about the poor kid who had to have a fake graduation ceremony on the train itself because he couldn't make it on time to his actual graduation. We hear about the derailments. We hear about people climbing out of elevated trains mid-stop, hundreds of feet above ground, just to get off the train when it's stuck. Those are bad enough. But on a daily basis, there are delays by the hours, by the 2 hours, by the 3 hours of people who just can't get to work, can't get about their day, can't get to doctor's appointments. It is a crisis of epic proportions, and leadership is only just now starting to realize it and taking the actions that are necessary. Everyone agrees what the problem is. The state has been underfunding and neglecting the MTA for far too long. Okay? Everyone acknowledges that from the governor on down. The state has been neglecting and underfunding the MTA for far too long. So then where's the money going to come from? Where's the solution going to come from? If we want nice things, we have to pay for them, and they're not going to happen by magic. If we want a subway that's going to work, we have to pay for nice subways and a system that's going to work. And are we going to ask working people to shoulder the burden of that? No. Are we going to ask people who are working just as hard as ever just to stay in place in the current economy to fund this plan? No. That's the opposite of fair. We are dealing with a moment in history where the wealthy are wealthier than ever. And God bless them. I'm happy people are successful. Let them do well. But at least let's make sure they pay their fair share to make the city operate, make the region operate, make people get to work on time so the economy is thriving and they can continue to make the money that they're making. This is simple fairness, folks. People that are among the wealthiest that the earth has ever seen live right here in this city. And the least they can do is chip in a little bit more to make sure that the trains run on time, literally.
Gennaris says there's no time to waste, that there's no emergency people are dealing with in this region more important than the state of the transit system. He says this justifies going back to Albany for an emergency session.
A world-class city requires world-class public transportation.
New York State Assembly member Danny O'Donnell, co-sponsor of the Millionaire's Tax Plan.
And if we don't have that, we will cease to be a world-class city. The reality is there are 70,000 delays every single month on the subway system. The fact is, in the last decade, on-time percentages have crashed from the 80s to the 20s and 30s. The worst train in the system, the train I rode here this morning, the number two train, which is only on time 32% of the time. For those of us who are old enough to have lived through the 70s and 80s, when our system failed to address the problems to keep the system running, we lived through it and we learned the lesson. The only solution here is a dedicated funding source. Without a dedicated funding source, any money that is put into the state capital is always available to be played with, manipulated, sent somewhere, who knows where. We need a dedicated funding source that says New York will remain the world's capital and we will be able to have a world-class public transportation system.
And U.S. Congress member Adriano Espaillat drives home the need for subway repairs, speaking about his district in Washington Heights.
Some folks have called this the summer of hell. We held a forum uptown where we have some of the deepest train stations in the city. That's why it's called Washington Heights, the highest point in Manhattan. So we have elevator service and escalator service taking people down very deep in the city. And access to these train stations is horrible. And folks were really complaining. The A-line, we saw a derailment, we saw a track fire up there. So if there's a summer of hell, that's the epicenter of hell up there. And people were really upset, as they should be. See, the public transportation system is a wear and tear system. Of any of you that have a vehicle, have leased a vehicle, you know that the company may give you a guarantee for your motor and your transmission for 3 years, but not your brake pads, because they're wear and tear. You cannot think, Mayor, that you're going to drive your vehicle for with 100,000 miles with the same brake pads. It's just not going to work. And so this system is used every single day by millions of New Yorkers and tourists that come to the city. And it is the lifeblood of the economy. Wall Street could be doing very well. The tourist industry could be doing very well. But it's working class New York that makes it that way for everybody. And unless we can get working class people to work on time, the economy will be hurt. And so in that forum, beyond complaining, people wanted solutions. They're tired of whining and complaining. They want solutions. They want to get to work on time. Not a big thing to ask, not a backbreaker. Just get me to work on time. Some people feel that they've been reprimanded by their bosses because they don't get there on time. Some people have said in a survey that was taken by the controller that they lost their jobs. And so that's not New York City. And we must have a dedicated funding stream. We cannot have an unfunded mandate. That's a gimmick. That's a budget gimmick. There's just no way around this. And we will not be able to nickel and dime ourselves out of this problem. New York City deserves better. Working class New York, the people that sit down next to you in the subway and are sweaty and are thinking about their families and how they're going to make ends meet, They deserve a break.
Congressmember Adriano Espaillat. This would be the first millionaire's tax in MTA history. And even though those 32,000 New Yorkers, the richest of the rich who would be taxed, live in Manhattan, Manhattan Borough President Gail Brewer is for the plan.
We know that New York City cannot exist without the subway. It has to be reliable, affordable mass transit. It is, as we know, the engine that keeps this city running and the entire region moving. But we have years of underfunding, and that engine is shuddering to a halt, and we must do something about it. As the mayor and others have indicated, the number of subway delays has increased by 250% in the last 5 years. And only two-thirds of subway trains make it to their destination on time or less than 5 minutes late. 80% were on time or close to on time just 5 years ago, to give you a comparison. So the income tax surcharge that the mayor is proposing today, it is an excellent way. It's not the only way, but it is an excellent way to deal with this emergency. And here's what the mayor's plan gets right. The funding is new. It's recurring. Recurring is the most important aspect. We won't fix a subway that needs $20 billion in signal upgrade, as the IBO told me in a report, by throwing a couple billion at a problem as a one-shot deal. And we can't fix the subway by blowing a hole in existing budgets. So I support this plan, even though everybody who's going to pay lives in Manhattan, because it creates a new revenue stream to fund half-price subway fares for low-income New Yorkers so they can get to work and appointment.
Manhattan Borough President Gail Brewer, along with other New York City and New York State elected officials, they are speaking out in favor of the Fare Fix Millionaire Tax Plan, which would tax the richest of the rich in the city to repair our ailing rail and bus transit system and to provide fair fares for low-income New Yorkers. And you're listening to the news on listener-sponsored non-commercial Pacifica Radio, WBAI in New York. This afternoon, I spoke with Bronx District Attorney Darcell Clark about Another Chance, a warrant forgiveness event which was held at a Bronx church over the weekend. The Bronx DA's team was able to dismiss more than 220 warrants.
Well, it's the second year that we did it, and it's an event where we allow people to come in to the community. It's a project where we take the courtroom from the courts and bring it into the community. So this year we had it at East Chester Presbyterian Church, and we brought along a judge, the court clerk, assistant district attorneys from my office, and the Bronx defenders were there as defense attorneys to help people come in with no questions asked to clear up any of these low-level quality of life warrants they may have gotten because they failed to return to court when they were issued a summons by the police.
So what kind of summonses are we talking about? We're talking about open container. What else?
Yes, open containers of alcohol, public urination, disorderly conduct in the park after dark, unlawful possession of marijuana, which is very, very low level amounts of marijuana. Things of that nature, trespass, and they had an opportunity to come in. Some received letters in the mail because we have, you know, the names of some people, and the court sent out letters to them because we were able to have their paperwork already set up. And then others could just walk in, and we were able to clear up 226 warrants of the 300 people that attended.
That's great. Now, what happens when people have these outstanding summonses, these warrants? Other things, bad things can happen to people when this isn't taken care of.
Yeah, well, first and foremost, they risk the chance of being arrested again on the warrant and have to, you know, spend time in jail until they can see a judge. But also there are other collateral consequences like employment opportunities if there's an outstanding warrant and, you know, that it shows up during a, employment application, yes, or interview, housing, if you're looking for housing, you know, those things can come up. Educational opportunities, you're applying for financial aid and they find out that, you know, you got these warrants. And also citizenship, you know, people are, yeah, you know, trying to go through the proper channels to become citizens and these things come up, can all have adverse effects on a person's life.
Yeah, it really messes people up. So can you tell us about the folks who showed up? What types of warrants were dismissed?
Well, a lot of them were for open containers of alcohol, trespass. It just varies. It was all kinds of things. And it spread, it was from so many years. I think the oldest one that we received was from 1981. So wow. People have them outstanding that long. And they came from all five boroughs. So it wasn't just people that lived in the Bronx. These are people that are in New York City, and if you're issued one of these summonses by the New York City Police Department anywhere in the five boroughs, you could have had it cleared up in the Bronx, which is on Saturday when we had our event. So people came from all over. We had people from Staten Island as well to come out to clear up their warrants.
And so people were really probably very excited to sort of get this off their backs.
I spoke to some of them, and they were very relieved. Again, still there's not – this is something that we wanted to do with the courts and the defense bar to build up trust in the community and trust in the criminal justice process. And by them coming in and being able to clear it up, no questions asked, having representation – and at the very end, getting a certificate of disposition, people really now have the opportunity to trust that the criminal justice system can work for them. And, I spoke to people who really were still suspicious. They didn't think it was for real. And after they went through the process, they were calling friends saying, it's the real deal. You should come down and clear it up. So,
great.
I'm glad to do that. Yeah.
And so what's coming up? Because I understand that there is a blanket amnesty event coming up with some of the other cities' DAs.
Yes. The Bronx, Brooklyn, Queens, and Manhattan, this coming week, each of the district attorneys are going to go into court and make a motion in the interest of justice to have warrants or summons warrants that are 10 years or older dismissed from the courts. So the people don't have to be there, the DAs on their own are going to go in and dismiss them, move to dismiss them in the court.
So wait, so let us just understand that. So if one of our listeners has a summons or a warrant that's 10 years old, it's just going to, and it's for a low-level offense, it's for the low-level offenses, right, the quality of life summons,
mm-hmm.
it, then
right.
they'll just be dismissed and they don't have to do anything about it?
Well, it depends. There will be some exclusions, but we will be dismissing a number of them. So what will happen is after the dismissal happens, the courts will provide an opportunity for people to be able to contact the courts to see if one of their warrants was the ones that were dismissed in court during the summary dismissals.
I see. So how can people find out more about that? I know that our listeners are going to be very interested in this.
Well, I think in the next couple of days, the courts will be putting out the information on how that can be done.
Okay,
so we're excited
great.
About it. We're looking forward to it, but it hasn't happened yet. So we'll have all the information.
And is there anything else you want to tell listeners about warrants, any warrants or summonses that they have?
The fact that we had another chance, two of them and maybe, more, and the fact that DAs are going in to dismiss them summarily doesn't mean that people should not answer their summonses, okay? We're not saying that. But we're saying that these are so old and they're the product of a lot of practices that have now been found not to be as effective as they could have been, such as the stop and frisk. So therefore, we're trying to put the past behind us and allow people to have their past behind them and that the future, be bright for them. So going forward, if you're still finding yourself in trouble, don't think that you're always going to get an amnesty. You should always, answer your summonses. But at the same time, going forward, the city council has already made a number of these summonses that are criminal now will now be civil, so people will not face jail for these same summonses that they were before. So we'll clean up the backlog by doing the summary dismissal and then going forward with the changes in the law with them now becoming civil. And the DAs occasionally still holding some of these amnesty events. We think that, we'll be able to get rid of this whole problem.
And really what you're doing is you're trying to unclog the courts.
Unclog the courts and really give people a chance to better themselves, you know. We had a resource fair at our event where there were a number of social service providers, healthcare, job opportunities, vendors at the event. So as people got their summonses dismissed, they also were able to catch on to some services that were available then. So going forward, knowing there are resources in the community, the fact that these summonses will now be civil summonses, also a number of the DA's office, I know mine, is looking into a lot of diversion programs to keep people out of the criminal justice system. I think the backlog will be gone. People will have a better opportunity in their lives. And going forward, we will not have the problem of warrants in the system.
Bronx District Attorney Darcel Clark. And you're listening to the news on listener-sponsored non-commercial Pacifica Radio. This is WBAI in New York. Tish James, New York City's public advocate, along with other elected officials and fair housing advocates, gathered at City Hall today to highlight how NYCHA is failing to serve seniors and residents with disabilities. Matt Patterson was at City Hall, and he filed this report.
New York public advocate Tish James says the city has generally been at the forefront of innovation when it comes to seniors aging in place, but the city's housing authority is denying seniors the right to have family members move in to care for them.
And that means when a grandmother gets sick, or someone who has Alzheimer's or kidney failure or cancer, NYCHA is not allowing any loving family member or relative to move in and care for them. And this approach basically flies in the face of the city's aging in place practices. It's inconsistent with their policies for seniors to age in place. And there's a very real human cost to this inhumane policy. This isn't just about policies and procedures. This is about human life.
A coalition of local lawmakers and advocacy groups say that the city hasn't been doing enough to protect the most vulnerable elderly population, those in affordable housing.
They've accomplished quite a bit for private housing, but it hasn't trickled down to NYCHA housing. And the reason why this issue is so important is because New York City is an unaffordable city. So it's even more important for age-friendly policies to affect NYCHA housing.
Leah Goodridge is an attorney with Mobilization for Justice. Her client, Jonas Aponte, has sued the New York City Housing Authority, NYCHA, for infringing his mother's right to be cared for appropriately while suffering from dementia. When it became clear that his mother, Victoria Aponte, required in-home care, NYCHA refused to grant Jonas permission to join her household. That left him with two options: move in and put her at risk of eviction, or allow her to live by herself, which was no longer safe. Goodridge says that by denying Jonas the ability to care for his mother legally, the city is not adhering to the framework of the Fair Housing Act and the Americans with Disabilities Act.
So this case is about the definition of reasonable accommodation. The main reason NYCHA said that they denied permission was because being granted permission and to live there would have resulted in what's called overcrowding. So two people in a one-bedroom would have been an overcrowded apartment under NYCHA's occupancy standards. But if we look at reasonable accommodation is a necessary exception to any rules so that a person with a disability can use and enjoy their apartment. In this case, reasonable accommodation wasn't provided.
Goodridge and Aponte were joined at City Hall by a number of City Council members, as well as other New Yorkers affected by NYCHA's policies. 13 elected officials and 15 advocacy groups jointly filed an amicus brief in the case. It alleges that NYCHA's policies have repeatedly disenfranchised disabled, elderly tenants in their buildings. Councilmember Richie Torres is the chair of the City Council's Committee on Public Housing.
You know, as I was reviewing this case, NYCHA's behavior is mystifying to those of us who believe in common sense. You know, what public policy good is served by denying a senior citizen with disability and dementia a permanent caregiver? And what public policy good is served by denying a son who's attempting to be a caregiver for his mother permanent residence in a home? Right? For me, it's baffling. NYCHA's policy is a rejection of common sense, and it's an example of a rigid bureaucracy that insists on following rules simply for the sake of following them. It's an example of NYCHA being its own worst enemy.
Charles Allen is a NYCHA tenant who faced a similar situation with his mother nearly a decade ago.
In 1976, we moved into that apartment, and I was originally on that lease. And they knew I was on that lease back then, because the records stated I was there. 2009, my mother requested I be added to a lease because she needed me to be a caregiver. So maybe a month later, the request was denied. I told them, I said, well, I'm not going anywhere. My mother's elderly, I'm not going nowhere. So they said, all right, if you stay, we're gonna proceed to try to evict her because, you know, you're not allowed to be here.
Mr. Allen cared for his mother until her death in 2012 and did eventually win his case with the help of the Public Advocate's Office. He encouraged others to keep pushing back against the housing authority.
I encourage people not to get discouraged. You know, you just go seek help. And can fight them. Don't say no. Never take the no for an answer.
The coalition recommends that NYCHA categorize additional residents in tenant households as reasonable accommodations in accordance with the Americans with Disabilities Act. And they want an agency review to ensure that all of its procedures are consistent with the city's existing age-friendly policies. With nearly 600,000 of the city's million seniors residing in NYCHA housing, the hope is that the housing authority will change its policies so that fewer citizens have to fight their way through the courts for proper care. Matt Patterson, WBAI News, New York.
And that's the WBAI Evening News for Monday, August 7th, 2017. The news was produced with Matt Patterson and Reggie Johnson. Linda Perry, WBAI News, New York. And now, Reggie, please explain to listeners how they can support WBAI, listener-sponsored non-commercial radio here in New York. Thank you.